Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Amen. All right. We're going to read some scripture tonight, but we'll be primarily here. Mark chapter 9, verse 41 and following. I do want to say from the outset, I don't know how else to put this, but this is a difficult message. It's a difficult message. I'm going to try to make it as simple as I can. And I'm just going to really, really beg God for grace. But it's a difficult message. And it's one of those that you probably don't understand since you're not a preacher. But some of you are. But it's one of those where you think, Lord, I'll preach that next time. Lord, I'll preach that next week. But you need to do what God says. And so I'm going to stay with it and I'm going to pray for grace. So stand with me tonight, please, if you would. I'm going to read the Bible here and out of love and respect for God's Word one last time here. Mark 9:41. Mark 9:41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And it's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. When the Bible talks about their worm, it's talking about their soul. The soul of man does never die. The soul of man is eternal, either in hell or in heaven, but it will never die. Verse 45, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and again their fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You see, Jesus is saying all of this, and he seems to be repeating himself. Do you see the trend there? And I just want to preach to you based on verse 43, though, something interesting. If thy hand offend thee, notice, three words. The topic, the title of the message tonight, cut it off. Father, I pray for your help. I do need you tonight in a big way. More than I needed you before. And Lord, I pray for grace, wisdom. I pray for understanding from your people. I know we have visitors here tonight. I pray, Lord, they would understand what the Spirit is saying unto this church. Lord, I know that we have people absent tonight, out of pocket for different reasons. It grieves my heart, Lord, how desperately they need to hear these things. But Father, you knew who was going to be here, and you knew exactly what we need. So I pray, God, for your filling of your Holy Spirit in each one of us. If there be a lost man here, a lost woman here tonight, God, that these scriptures alone would penetrate and pierce their hearts and help them to understand, God, that hell is never quenched, that souls are forever tormented in a place of everlasting fire. God, please save them tonight. Those of us that are saved, Lord, open our ears. God, please remove distractions tonight. Don't let Satan interfere. We plead the blood of Jesus tonight. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now you may be seated. I'm really preaching a message tonight in response to a question that I got in via our question and answer program, I guess you call it. And I know it's not a Sunday night, but I just felt like this is what God wanted me to do tonight. The question goes like this. Jesus talks about cutting off your hands or your eyes if they offend you or cause you to sin. So should we punish ourselves for sinning or repeat sinning? For example, Catholic priests or monks whipping themselves, punishing the flesh for making them sin. Now that's a good question. It's a valid question, and it is going to take up our whole message tonight. I appreciate this question, and I appreciate all of them really, but this one has led me to a deeper understanding myself of this passage of Scripture. And I just read to you some verses that sound, no doubt, extreme. They may even sound morbid. And quite frankly, if you never heard them before, they probably would shock you. What in the world? Well, let me say right here from the beginning of my message tonight, this is an extreme topic. This is an extreme subject. God is an extreme God. Amen. Now you say, preacher, I don't understand. What do you mean? Well, let me tell you, let me remind you about a place called Calvary. That God went to great extremes to send His only, not just one of many, but His only begotten Son, who went all the way to Calvary and shed His perfect, sinless, undefiled blood for sinners. Yeah. Why? Because there was no other way to satisfy the justice of God. Yeah. You say, that's pretty extreme. I know. But aren't you glad God went all the way to that extreme? Yeah. If you're going to heaven tonight, that's the only reason you can go there. And if God would not have gone to that extreme, then my friend, there would be no hope for any of us. I do want to say also that this scripture, however, is not what it may seem on the surface. Let me start off by saying this. God does not, N-O-T, want you and me to literally dismember our bodies for any reason.
Right.
Okay? Not to go to heaven, not to get right with God as a believer. Let me say again, for any reason, not for any reason does God want His children to dismember and really mutilate their bodies. Hold your place here and flip over to 1 Corinthians 3. Let me show you a couple verses. Again, this is just introduction, but laying the groundwork here, the first part of the answer here is no. God does not want us. So what do we do? Why not? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Notice, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Once I get saved, I become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So obviously, God does not want us to defile our bodies in any way. Look in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So, therefore, for ye are bought with a price, that price being the blood of Jesus. We talked about that a minute ago. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So apparently, obviously, according to the Word of God, our body is to glorify God. Our body is not to be defiled because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself. So a mangled, dismembered body on purpose brings no glory to God. It is not what Jesus is talking about. Also, I want you to remember this. We must remember that all sin originates not in my hand, not in my eye, not in my foot. You know, if I could cut off every limb of my body, and if I'm still alive, I'm still a sinner. Okay, Mark chapter 7, look over there with me. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And Jesus, of course, speaking here, He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the, what's that say?
Heart
of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. I could take my eyeballs out and still have wicked thoughts. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Wow, I mean, what else is there? All these things, all these evil things come from where? Within, and defile the man. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Be good or bad, everything originates in me, inside, in my heart. And so, go back to Mark chapter 9. So, obviously, Jesus is not speaking literally cutting off the members of my body or even punishing myself. Because, listen, I can punish myself all day long. That's not going to change my heart. Are you listening? So, what does Jesus mean? Now, here comes the hard part. Number one, look with me in Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And verse 42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. Now, right there I want you to notice two words that pop up in those two verses. That is the word whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever does not refer to a part of a body. Whosoever refers to a person.
Right.
Okay, so the first thing I want to draw out of this is primarily Jesus is primarily referring, listen now, to cutting off other people. Now, bear with me. I told you this is going to be a little bit hard to swallow in places. The verses we're looking at here, well, I read verse 41 through 48. These all verses are going back to and tying back to these first two foundational verses which mention this word whosoever. Now, what I want you to learn tonight with me is that when you study your Bible, you have to remember this principle that all Scripture has a context.
Yep.
All Scripture has a context.
Right.
Okay? Always, always analyze a passage of Scripture in light of its context. Now, those of you kids, or maybe not so much kids, but you may remember studying English and grammar and things like that in school. And you had to read and understand. You could understand a word by the context that it was in. You could even define a word by the paragraph. What is that? The context of that particular writing. Now, in this passage of Scripture, and in any passage of Scripture, we need to analyze this passage of Scripture in light of its context. Now, if we're going to uncover the truest and most accurate interpretation of the Scripture, we must not take it out of context. Listen to me. This is how cults get started. Okay? This is crucial, you understanding what I'm talking about, the context, the whole body of Scripture, the whole passage in its entirety, to be able to understand what Jesus is talking about here. You must never base a doctrine belief on one verse or even one set of verses without knowing the context, what's been written around it and why, what is being really said. Okay, you understand me? With me? Okay, look in verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Now it says, it's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Verse 45. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet be cast into hell. Now wait a minute. Do these verses mean that I can earn my way to heaven and keep myself out of hell by cutting off parts of my body?
No.
Now, wait. If that's all I had to go on, I could be really confused.
Yeah.
Right.
If that's all I had to go on, I could be really confused. Now, not only do you compare to the context, you compare Scripture with Scripture.
Yeah, man.
Don't turn there for sake of time, but Ephesians 2:8-9 is just one of many. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. If I cut my hand off and then I get to go to heaven, that's something that I did.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
That's something that I worked on my own. It doesn't take anybody else. It just takes a whole lot of guts and nerves and foolishness and stupidity and all those other... Okay, now I get to go to heaven. That's not doctrinally sound.
That's
Okay, so I've got to take these things into context. Look over, I'm just going to give you some examples of this that are very big nowadays. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. This is just an example of knowing what's going on, knowing the context, knowing other scriptures, comparing scripture with scripture, line upon line, line upon line. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, look up here for a second. They just heard Peter preach the gospel to them. I mean, they heard it in the fullness of the Holy Spirit power. They heard that it was Jesus Christ that was crucified, He was buried, but God raised Him from the dead. They heard that it was their own sin, it was their hands, it was their nail, the hammer that drove those nails into His hand, but God raised Him from the dead to prove to all the world that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And then they say, what do we do? What do we do now? Look in verse 38. This verse is the foundation of multiple false churches. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. The remission means removal. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Church of Christ, just for example, and Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, they all preach Acts 2:38, and they all say you have to be baptized to get saved, and you're not really saved unless you speak in tongues as proof that you got the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they are basing their entire church on that verse. Now, you have to understand something. There's a whole lot of other verses in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, don't turn there, says that we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, this doesn't say anything about His blood. This doesn't say anything about His being forgiveness of sins. This talks about baptized and repentance. So, confusing, but again, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. Colossians 1:7 says the exact same thing. It's through Him we have remission of sin through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 said that God, Jesus, has washed us from our sins in His own blood. There's verse after verse after verse, okay? And listen, 1 Corinthians 1:17, the Apostle Paul, do you believe the Apostle Paul was a preacher of the gospel? Do you believe the Apostle Paul had his doctrine straight? Okay, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, then nobody got saved. See what I mean? Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So wait a minute. Then does that mean that all of those people who believe they have to get baptized in order to get saved are wrong? That's exactly what that means. Because there's other scripture that contradicts what they believe. And you cannot base a lifelong doctrine or what you believe on one verse. Paul said also in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said it pleased God by the foolishness, amen, foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. No baptism involved there. And the kicker, you don't have to turn there, Luke 23, there's a thief on the cross, there's a thief on another cross, Jesus was in the middle. One said, "Hi, Jesus, you're such a fake, you're such a phony baloney." The other one said, "Hey, why don't you be quiet? We deserve to be up here, but this man had done nothing wrong." And then he turned to Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And right there on the cross, bloodied, beat to a pulp, hanging there between heaven and hell, naked, he turned to that thief and he said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Now that thief didn't come off that cross and get baptized. He died on that cross. So folks, listen to me. I'm just using these as examples. This is just, oh by the way, help you learn a little bit. You're going to see a lot of people and hear a lot of people talk about Acts 2:38 the longer you are saved and around these Pentecostals. Based on the context, go back to Mark chapter 9 then. Based on the context of our scripture, the whosoever there continues all the way down through 48. And then he goes into verse 49, for every one shall be salted. And then it says in verse 50, salt is good. If the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves. So he's talking about people. Now, number two. So I said primarily, Christ is talking about cutting off people. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about a knife, a sword, a saw, or anything like that. Okay, we're talking about
separating
from them.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay, the second thing I want to look at here, the purpose. What's the purpose of cutting off these people? The purpose is listed all throughout these verses. I mean, look in verse 42. Whosoever shall offend, verse 43, if thy hand offend, verse 45, if thy foot offend, verse 47, if thine eye offend. The reason, the purpose that Jesus is talking about cutting off these people is because they are offending you and others. Now, you need to stay with me now. The word offend is not what most people think here. It doesn't mean that you're getting your feelings hurt. That's not what it means.
Right.
It literally means tripping you up. It literally means becoming a stumbling block to you. Now, the definition of the word means to entice you to sin. There are people in your life that will come across your path, and they will be put there by your adversary to entice you to sin. They will intentionally... Come here, Seth. Have you ever seen... I'm not going to hurt you. Have you ever seen somebody... Go ahead and walk. Just walk with me this way. Ever seen somebody walking and then somebody else stick their foot out and trip them? Now, he did that on purpose. I didn't make him fall. That was good, though. Go ahead and have a seat. Very good. Thank you. He went all the way through. I'll use you next time, too. But he didn't accidentally trip. I stuck my foot out. I wanted him to trip. I wanted him to fall.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the scripture means.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know how much. Again, this is not easy to preach because this becomes this. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff anymore today. But I don't know about you, but this Jesus repeated himself over and over and over again because he is warning us against the people, the whosoever's. They're out there and they are trying to make us fall.
Yeah, man. Good preaching. Come on.
Amen. Try.
I want you to notice in verse 43, thy hand offended, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Verse 45, thy foot offended thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life, halt into life than to enter 2 feet to be cast into hell. You know, you understand something? What Jesus is saying here is that these people are going to be responsible for multiple millions of people in hell.
Absolutely.
So, preacher, I'm saved. I can't go to hell. Oh, I know that. I mean, and thank God for it. We can all say amen right there. Praise the Lord. I'm saved forever. I understand that. But I do want you to understand, they can't take away your salvation if you're truly born again. But they can cause you to go right back to the same life of sin that God brought you out of. And that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Because they don't like your stand.
Yeah.
They don't like your convictions.
Yeah.
They don't like your Christ.
Yeah.
They don't like your Bible. They don't like your church. They don't like your preacher. They don't like your beliefs.
Yeah.
And they're not ashamed to stick their foot out and laugh at you all the way down. Jesus is talking about people here. The purpose for cutting these people off is because they're trying to make you fall. But here is where it's going to get even harder. I want you to notice the pain involved in cutting these people off. I mean, when you cut something off, no matter what it is, there's going to be some kind of pain involved. You know, they say, I don't know for sure, I'm not a tree hugger, but they say when I get out my chainsaw and I go through that branch, even the tree goes, I never heard it do that. But anytime I cut something off, somebody's going to feel some pain.
Right.
Especially when it comes to this scripture here. I want you to notice anytime, but listen, I'm not done yet. All of these things cut off in this passage of scripture are members of our body. What does that mean? That means they're very close to us.
Yeah.
Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Now, it's one thing for me to go over and cut Seth's hand off, but God's talking about my own. What do you mean, preacher? You know, it's one thing for me to say, I can't hang around your family, Seth. They're trying to make me fall. But God's not talking about Seth's family. God's talking about mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you this was going to be hard. We're not ready for this. But this is the solution to those who offend us. Now, I'm not being facetious at all, but I've got to preach this. The most hurtful things, listen, the things that hurt us the most are those that are done to us by the ones who are closest to us. Now we can all, and this is getting real, real personal. I'm not trying to get personal, but I don't need to get personal. You know exactly what I mean.
Right.
The ones that hurt us the most are the ones that are the closest to us.
Yep. Right.
You know, it's one thing for a stranger to betray me. But when it's a friend or even a family member or another church member, they're all part of our body. And listen, when they betray me, boy, that brings a whole lot of hurt. There's always pain involved in cutting someone out of your life who was close. But listen to me. The pain of not cutting them out is going to be much greater one day. Are y'all following me tonight? I believe we can safely say from this passage that a child of God who will not cut off the people who continually offend them and their children, by the way, will live in hell on earth. I can't go to hell, thank God. But you know, if I continually let people offend me and try to trip me up, and listen, if they don't get me, they're going to come after my children. And if I just let them do whatever they want to do, I'm going to be living in hell on earth because Jesus said, you've got to cut them off. But preacher, that's extreme. I told you. I warned you before we got to this point.
Amen.
It's extreme. I know it's extreme. But listen, but the devil does not pull any punches.
Right. Amen.
So why should we continue to let him destroy our children, our families? Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34. These are the verses that this new crowd would like to cut out. Matthew chapter 10, well, of course they do cut out a lot of them, but Matthew 10 verse 34, "Think not," Jesus said. See, he said, "You got your thinking all wrong. You're thinking like the world." Isn't that amazing? He said, "Stop thinking like the world. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Hey, you know, what does the Bible call the Bible?
Sword.
Sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit. Jesus said, "I did not come to send peace, but a sword. I'm come to set a man at variance against his father." I'm in Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. At variance means at odds. "And the daughter against her mother. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, enemies, shall be they of his own household." Well, that hurts. Jesus, listen, before you call Jesus whatever the world calls, Jesus is not saying, I want that to happen. What he's saying is that if you follow me, that's going to happen. And you don't want it. Of course you don't want it. You don't wake up and ask God to... But look, verse 37. "He that loveth father or mother..." You don't get much closer than mommy. "More than me." Now we're talking about some extremes. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter..." Wow. "More than me is not worthy of me." You know what? Hey, listen. Look up here for a second. I have to be real careful that I don't love you folks more than I do Jesus. Because you know why? Because messages like this come up and I think, God, I don't want to do that to them. Lord, what if we have visitors? They're not going to understand. Jesus said, "Oh." And then I said, "Okay." Because none of us are worthy of Him, you understand?
That's right.
But this scripture applies to salvation first and foremost. Listen, I wouldn't go to hell for anybody, no matter if it's my own mama.
Yeah. Amen.
You better get saved, no matter what mama says.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to be born again if you let mama or daddy or brother or sister or uncle, cousin or whoever, Billy Bob, amen, keep you from heaven. But that from that point on, it also means that I've got to be real understanding and real careful to understand that those people that they didn't get saved, their hearts are just got harder and harder against the gospel because I'm living for the Jesus and I'm walking with Christ and I'm trying to follow Him. But He points out to me, says, in the very next verse, "He that does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Verse 38. "He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Wow. He's not talking about dying, literally. He's talking about dying to what you thought your life was going to be and living for what God's will is for you. And that will very, very many times require you to cut some people off. Now, you say, "Preacher, what if it's my spouse? What if it's my parent? What if it's my brother or my sister?" They're all included in that scripture. Here's what I want you to see. If it's something that they're doing to offend you, to try to trip you up, to try to stumble, that's illegal, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to get on the phone and you need to turn them into the authorities. You say, "Preacher, what? Has it got to get to that point?" Listen, I'm going to pull some things out of here in just a minute, but they're better off there than continuing to hurt other people.
Right.
If somebody comes to me and says, "Preacher, I got to tell you in confidence," I say, "Wait a minute. It'll be in confidence unless you tell me if some illegal activity, I'm going to have to report it."
Right.
For your sake and for theirs. "Preacher, what if it's someone in my house? My children, listen, you can't Obviously, you can't cut off your parents. You're still living at home. I know there's things, and I'm not saying, I'm not trying to infer anybody in here. I'm just trying to get you to see. This is an obvious, very extreme situation, but you do have to do whatever you can to minimize, even to cease fellowship with these people. Because they're trying to trip you and entice you to sin. This is reality. This is what Jesus is saying. As I was studying, lastly, and I'm done. I want you to see the sad portrait of America in this passage. Go back to Mark chapter 9. The number one reason people quit on God is because of someone else's opinion. Let me say that to you again. The number one people quit on God who saved them, who redeemed them, who cleansed them from all sin, who forgave them all their guilt and their shame and regrets gone. I mean, the blood, the salvation, the blessed hope, it's all freely given by the grace of God. And the reason people turn their backs on such a God is because of somebody else's opinion.
Right.
Well, how do I cut them off, preacher? Well, there's a couple ways, but really, the easiest way is to just keep talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Right. Obviously, I'm not talking about inciting a riot here, okay? We're not trying to... We're to be blameless and harmless, remember? The sons of God. We're not supposed to be the ones that are causing the problem, but we have to do what we need to do to cut off these people. And I say, well, preacher, here's what everyone asked me. Well, how are they going to get saved? Through your prayers.
Amen.
You're not the only Christian in this world.
Right.
You're not the only one that knows how to tell them how to get saved. Amen. There's a God in heaven who's way bigger than we are.
Amen. Amen.
And right now I'm talking about your future, your family, your children. I'm talking about you living above the world. You can't live above the world when you're constantly being tripped up and on your face in the mud.
Right.
Amen.
Because someone is tripping you up. Over and over again. Everybody's got an uncle or cousin, a roommate, a co-worker, a classmate. That's all they do. Constantly running, and they're not doing it for any other reason than to get you out of God's will. I want to show you the sad portrait of America in this scripture. As I was studying, praying over this passage, God made me see some things. It really broke my heart, even more so than what I've already said. But many pagan religions, including Catholicism, by the way, that's pagan. Catholicism is pagan, okay? It's not Christian. They're taking these passages literally. Because they don't understand context, and like I said earlier, and they're literally beating themselves, they're literally dismembering themselves in remorse for their sins. Now, quite frankly, I wish more believers had even a fraction of that same grief over their sin, and we would have a much cleaner, holier church. But anyway, what God made me see through this passage and just praying and studying this is, it's not just the pagan religions in other countries, but it's right here. It's a very real practice in our own backyards. Listen up. Tattooing is everywhere.
Right.
People are piercing every part of their bodies.
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
They're cutting their wrists. They're dressing up in all black. You know why? Because sin hurts and they hurt.
Yeah.
listen, someone has offended them.
Right.
Now, they're probably not even saved, but they've been hurt to the core. And someone has hurt them. And now they want to cut off themselves. They want to cut off. They want to pierce themselves. They want to. They hate themselves. They hate themselves. They hate the way they look. Have you noticed how everybody? I can't do it, but how so many people are living behind their hair? I mean, there's one little gap here. Yeah, what's up, man? I mean, I know we can't do it, but I mean, I'm talking about living. You know, God gave us two eyes, but how many girls have you seen with hair down covering one eye like that? You say, what does that mean, preacher? What that means is they're literally trying to hide. They are so hurt, they are so battered and offended by sin that they don't even want to come out to the day of light, the light of day. They're hiding behind their hair. They're hiding behind their beanies. They're hiding behind their tattoos. They're hiding behind their piercing. They're hiding behind their so-called attempted suicide. Listen, if somebody really wanted to kill themselves, they would. Those are nothing more than cries for help. And our country is riddled with, these aren't just kids anymore, adults now. It's all, listen, it's all because their mom, their dad, did not cut off the ones that were offending them. And now their lives are wrecked. They want to cut off themselves now. I mean, they're piercing everything that they have. That's not normal. I mean, but it is kind of funny, but really, where's the source of it? This is the source of it. Because our generations have gotten so far removed from the Bible that now the ones who were victims yesterday are adults today. And guess what they're doing? They're offending others. Because that's all they know. They're so miserable. They're full of darkness and death and pain and agony. And they're piercing. And by the way, all a tattoo is a needle stuck in you over and over and over and over and over. Now, I know in the military you do those things because we're tough and all that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are just trying to hide because they hate themselves. They hide behind food. They hide behind drugs, alcohol. They hide behind fantasy world, video games. They hide behind their earphones. They're doing anything and everything they can do to escape reality. Why? Because someone offended them to such a degree that now they don't even want to live anymore. They just want to be dead, gone, cut off. And listen, it is a plague in our country. I mean, go to the average high school. You're going to see, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? They don't have to go to high school. We can go start elementary. The reality is, folks, the longer we get away from cutting it off, the more, by the way, why do you think it is that the sodomites are now legally marrying each other? I guarantee you, those men and women were offended greatly when they were little. That's not a normal lifestyle.
That's right. Absolutely.
A man kissing a man, that's not normal. That's not normal. It happened because somewhere along the way, back here in yesterday's little years, they were offended. And I don't need to go any further than that. Their Their dad was busy making a dollar. Their mom was busy making a dollar. And the Bible says that the mom and the dad are to protect and provide and be the spiritual guidance for their children. Instead, everybody's chasing the dollar bill and chasing after everything else. Instead, so this little kid over here is left alone with a babysitter who's offending him greatly. And now he's an adult and he's got everything you can imagine. He's the most miserable man, and now he's got his own kids, and guess what he's doing?
Mom.
Yeah. And it's all because we won't cut it off.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, that's just too hard. That's too extreme. I mean, wake up and look around.
Right.
This is our country. This is our country. And why did it get to this point? Because nobody would cut it off.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm not here to tell you it's easy. It's extreme.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Why don't we have men that know how to be men anymore?
Yeah. Amen.
Instead of ladies staying home with their kids, instead of men teaching boys to be men, we're not doing anything different than yesterday's generation.
Right. Yep.
You know, people are hiding today behind, like I said, tattoos and piercing. But listen to this. They're also hiding behind their hair. I said that already. But they're also, listen, hiding behind their anger. Turn around, sweetheart, please. Turn around. Face this way. Don't distract everybody else, okay? They're hiding behind their anger. I mean, they're angry. They're mad. I mean, they're mad that they had to go through that as a child. They didn't deserve that. They didn't ask for that. And now they're an adult and they're full of rage and wrath and they're angry and they're full of bitterness. And you know what they're going to do with that is they're going to offend somebody else with that. And they're hiding behind who they really are, but all that anger and that bitterness. And because they're hurting. Because nobody would cut off the ones that were offending them. Tell you right now, sarcasm. Why do you think it is that sitcoms are the most popular junk on television today? Because sarcasm is nothing more than a shield. Because it's not who you really are. It's the opposite of sincerity. God says that we're to live in godly sincerity. Instead, we cover ourselves with sarcasm and all kinds of smart aleck comments. Because that's not who you're hiding, because you're hurting. Now, it's too late for you to cut it off, but dear God, would you please learn a lesson? And from this day forward, parents, get a grip. And cut off those that are offending your children. Yeah. Cut off those that are trying to take down your family. Cut off those that want to destroy your church and destroy your marriage. Cut them off. Say, God, I turn them over to you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, I have turned him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That doesn't mean that he's going to go to hell, but I turned him over so that he would learn a lesson. So that's extreme, preacher. Yes, it is. Because they're destroying our children.
Yeah.
It's hardcore preaching. Well, I told you it was extreme. You've been hurt so badly. And some of you are sitting here today. And I'm not against you. I'm not the one that offended you. I'm the one that's trying to help you. So don't get mad at me. But it hurts to be kind of reopen those wounds. I understand. You won't let anybody in. You won't trust anybody because you've been hurt. So you hide behind fear, anger, bitterness. You You've been hurt so badly and you don't know what to do about it. Here's what you need to do about it. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar and you say, God, that's me. That's me. I don't want to live the rest of my life like that. You know what you need to do? You need to go back in your mind and your heart and you need to forgive the ones that offended you. You say, preacher, that's not easy. Oh, I know. You forgive them. You love them and pray for them and you forgive them. And you say, God, take all this anger, all this bitterness, all this hurt. Take it out of me, God. I can't live like this anymore. Because you can't. You will never make it. You will end up offending someone else if you already haven't. It's time to put an end to it. I can't go back and cut it off for you, but you can cut it off right now. You can cut off their memory. You can cut off what they did to you. You can take it and give it to God and say, God, here it is. But the first step is to admit that you're the one I'm talking about. And dear God, and then wake up and say, okay, God, I'm going to become a mother hen to my chicks. Nobody is going to offend my children.
Amen.
Because if you don't do it now, they're going to be gone away to college, and it's going to be too late. Obviously, we don't cut ourselves, dismember our bodies, but we need to cut out the things that have offended us already. Give them to God. Repent. Confess. You know what I'm talking about. And then from that point on, we've got to be strong enough to cut people off that are hurting us. Offended. Preacher, I just want them to get saved. Okay, I love them. I want them to get saved too. But you have got to remember what Jesus said. Let somebody else, let the Holy Spirit use somebody else or some other situation. Stop letting them offend you and your children and your church and your pastor and your wife and your husband just so you can think you can win them to Christ. That's not what God says to do. We need to bow our heads. Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, And I feel like I needed more time, Lord, but I pray that the message was clear. Lord, may these people in this room understand I'm not against them. I'm not against them. And Jesus is not against them. So, Father, you are against those that continually offend and try to trip them up. God, help us to take a stand. We don't have to be mean. We certainly don't have to be hateful. But Lord, it's time for us to stand up and cut off those who continually offend us and our families. Lord, I know it's a hard pill to swallow maybe tonight. God, give us understanding. Give us greater courage and faith. Lord, help us parents to understand. God, help us to look around at our country. The homeless society, the homeless population. Lord, the drug addiction, the alcoholism. It's all because of a deep hurt in the heart of mankind. From the offending that they had to go through as a child. Oh God, help us. Help us not to be a part of the problem tonight. Let's all stand together tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The music's going to play softly. You need to come tonight. You do it tonight. The Lord spoke to your heart. There's somebody you need to cut off. Listen, it's not harsh. It's not mean. It's going to help you. It's going to keep you right with God. Maybe there's something in your own heart. Memories. Memories. Things that have happened to you already. You got to cut those out too. Cut them off. Give them to God. Forgive that person. Forgive that man. Forgive that woman. Say, God, I can't change it. It's too late. But I'm going to cut off that memory. I'm going to cut it out of my mind. Cut it out of my heart. God will help you get victory over that anger and that bitterness and that depression and that sarcasm, all of that, all of those things that just are just a cover up, just trying to hide. Don't hide anymore. You're saved, you're complete, you're full, you're in Christ. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's all gone. It's not your fault. Let God have it.